Sunday school class, the bread of life, and the time we had to meet around the Lord's table, and it was great to be able to participate in a song service this morning as well. We are continuing in on our series of preaching through the Bible. This week we are going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. If you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, we'll be there in just a few moments. You know, some of us love to take the simple and make it complex. Some of us thrive on taking perfectly obvious matters and making them as obscure as possible. I don't know, maybe you've seen before the bumper sticker that says this: eschew obfuscation. It's just another way of saying, keep it simple, stupid. And we may remember that acronym in school when we're giving demonstrations and illustrations, is to just keep it simple, stupid. And it does myself well to remember that when I'm preparing sermons as well. In our text for this lesson, the great Israelite leader, Moses, is at the end of his life. As we get to chapter 34, we see those words of the song that we sing many times, of from Mount Pisgah's lofty heights, I view my home and take my flight. Well, before that, Moses is giving some instruction to the holy nation of God's people. He's given them a message of encouragement, of edification, of enlightenment before he heads to that celestial promised land. It is in these 10 short verses that we're going to look at today that Moses urges the people to follow God and his commandments to help guide their lives. The words of Moses can apply to us as Christians today. Let's take a look and learn some things from these important truths from one of God's faithful leaders. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20 is what we're going to be looking at. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. For this commandment which I command to you is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us, to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross over the sea for us, to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity. In that I have commanded you to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and to possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. There's three things that we want to look at this morning in this message. Three things that Moses wanted for the people of Israel to be aware of in their day, and three things that I believe are very good for us to be aware of today as well. We kind of already touched on the first portion of the text, and it's not to take anything and make it hard. The Lord has made it very simple. It's really very simple. Have you ever took a test. You took a test that seemed rather simple on the surface. And we find that they're often not as simple as we thought. For instance, the answer to the question of how long did the Hundred Years' War last isn't obvious. You'd think the Hundred Years' War lasts 100 years, but it actually lasts 116 years. When you're taking a test and a question asks you, from what animal do we get cat gut from? You would think it would be a cat, but it's not. It's from horses and from cows that we get cat gut. Sheep and horses. In which month do Russians celebrate the October Revolution? Once again, not so obvious. They celebrate it in November. What was King George IV's first name? Well, we would think George, right? But it wasn't. It was Albert. You know, there's many times we're not fond of trick questions. Moses here is not giving trick questions. One thing we need to understand is God is not hoping that we mess up. God is not trying to set us up for failure. And really, what is happening is we are being told it is really a very simple thing to do. That's what we saw in our text. Verse 11, the very first verse that we looked at said, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach." In other words, it's right there for us to share in, to take example of, to hold and apply to our life. It only becomes difficult when we as the individual says, "I can't." When we take something that is very simple and we say, "I can't," we make it more difficult than it needs to be. I know. I do that many times in my own life. I make it more difficult than it needs to be. And truth be known, I know that many of you are the same way. We take something simple and we make it far more difficult than it needs to be. We look at something that we're told that is simple, and we immediately get in our mind and we think, there's got to be a catch. There's got to be a catch to it. It can't be that simple. How many of us as Christians have looked at Adam and Eve and we've given them a hard time? We say, boy, they had it simple. They had one rule to follow. All they had to do was one thing, and they could not keep it. The Lord instructed us what we need to do. And truth be known, what the Lord has asked for us to do, just as what Moses had asked for the people in his day to do, is a very simple thing. It's simply to obey Him. Now, please do not misunderstand something here this morning. Do not misunderstand simple for easy. Do not misunderstand simple for easy. The Christian walk is a simple one. However, it can be far from easy. Christ keeps it simple, for He knows how mankind likes to make things harder than it needs to be. Just keep it simple. Number two this morning that we want to look at from our text is really the whole basis for our walk with God. Rick looked at this last Sunday morning during Sunday school hour of Enoch's walk with God. Enoch walked with God because he made a choice. The choice is ours. The choice is yours. The choice is mine if we decide to be obedient or not. I want for us to realize something about this text. There are two aspects to this charge. The first being the legal aspects, which are immediate and conditional, which is another way of saying that they are fulfilled based on action. We usually understand this portion. We do good and we do what is right. we are rewarded as such. We are rewarded accordingly. If we do wrong and we sin or we transgress, then we are punished accordingly. We understand that. We get it. We may not like it, but at least we understand it and we appreciate it. We know the rules. It's really very simple. But ultimately, the choice is mine. The choice is yours on if we're going to follow these things. The second, however, is the grace aspects of the covenant that are featured, or that are future and are unconditional. This means that God peers into our hearts and he sees what no one else can see. You know, there's many times that we try to do something and it doesn't come across as we would like. And we just wish that people could look into our heart and see what we really meant to happen, what we really meant to take place. And you know what? God sees that. But how, on the flip side of that, there are times that we wish nobody else knew what we were thinking on the inside. That we wish that nobody knew what thoughts were in our mind. And unfortunately, God knows those too. And whether we act upon those or not, as in our first aspect of that point, we get that and understand that. But because of the future that the Lord has in store for us, he's got unconditional love for us. This means that God peers into our hearts and sees what no one else can see. He sees effort and desire when others may only see failure and judgment. This is why we look at a man such as Lot. And to be honest with you, we can look through some of the stories that Lot is involved with. You look at him and he's a selfish guy. And he takes the better land away from his uncle Abraham. But even as we get into it, we look more into the characteristics of Lot's life. You know what? As you study that out, we see a terrible, dirty old man with terrible morals. But then we read in the New Testament, and God sees him as righteous. God sees him as righteous Lot. This gives us hope, or at least it should give us hope today, that no matter what was seen from the outside, and someone who appears to have bad morals, who appears to make bad decisions, who appears to have worldly concepts in his mind, but it said that he was vexed daily living where he was living. It bothered him to have to put up with the things that he put up with. And God saw that. And God knows that. And that's why I'm so thankful that God looks at Lot and doesn't see a dirty old man with terrible morals, but sees a righteous individual. But this is the same reason that we, as we look through the Old Testament again, we may see a woman like Rahab. We see harlotry. We see wickedness and evil and sexual sin. But God looks at her and sees obedience and faith. That's why her name comes up as you skim along Hebrews chapter 11 as one who had faith in God. When I look at the lives of Lot and I look at the lives of Rahab, I guess I'm just grateful that God's going to be the one doing the final judging on the last day. But remember, that choice is ours. God will judge us according to our choice. Reading and memorizing and meditating on the Word of God is of no value without obedience to the will of God. We can say, I've got half the Bible memorized. The Lord doesn't care if you've got all the Bible memorized if you ain't putting any of it to work and to practice. When we obey the Word of God, we simply do what is indicated in the Bible. It is through obedience that we prove that we want to be pleasing to God in our walk as a Christian. Obedience to God results in us being treasured by Him. Exodus 19:5 says this, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among the peoples, for all the earth is mine." We become treasured in the eyes of God. It also leads to happiness, as we read in Psalms 119 and verse 2, "How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart." But just as important as those things are, it helps us to also avoid evil. Psalms 119 verse 101 says this, I have restrained my feet from every evil way. For what reason? So that I may keep your word. The word of God has been given to us. The word of God is there for us. But you know what? The choice is ours. The choice is ours. And so we see it's really quite simple. First point, keep it simple. The second point, the choice is ours. The choice is mine. And then to help us along, you, those of you that have kids, you understand this. You give your kids a choice and you want them to make the right decision, so you kind of push them in the direction of the right answer that they need to give. Well, Moses does that here for the people. He says it's really, really simple. The choice is yours, but then he goes on and tells them, here's what you need to choose. Choose life. He tells them they need to choose life. Isn't that a slogan that we hear today? Choose life. We mainly hear that in the abortion world, or in reference to the value of aged people around us. Choose life. Good concept, right? Moses was preaching this years and years ago. And it's still a good message for us to preach today as well. So let's look at verse 19 of our text as we draw to a close for this text. Verse 19 says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So please choose life in order that you may live." Really sounds simple, doesn't it? Really, the choice is yours. Would you rather have life, or would you rather have death? Would you rather share in a blessing, or would you rather share in the curse? The Lord is hoping that we will choose life. You know, I know that many of you know, or have at least heard of the song that goes like this, "Yo-ho, yo-ho, it's a pirate's life for me." Well, perhaps as Christians, we should be singing, "Yo-ho, yo-ho, a Christian life for me." It's a proven fact that just by an individual living their life by biblical principles and following the examples laid out there, that it leads to a better life here on earth. If you are then living that life by faith and obedience in God and His Word, it is not only leads to a better life here, it ultimately leads to an eternal life in heaven. So I say, Jesus is the life for me. John chapter 6, where Gary was at this morning for our Sunday school class, I'm going to look at verse 53. It says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of God, or the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves.'" And Gary talked about that this morning, having the life of Jesus in us, having that Christian life within us. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Jesus is the life for me. John 14, 6 says, "Jesus said to them, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.'" There are many choices to make, but there is only one that leads to eternal life and to salvation. Jesus says this, that the only way to the Father, the only way to God in heaven, is through Jesus Christ and being obedient to Him. If Moses were standing here today, Moses would tell us the same thing today that he told them 3,400 years ago. As I am standing here today, I will tell you the same thing that Moses told them. Choose life. Choose a life in God. Choose a life in Jesus. I am asking you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you today to choose a life lived in Jesus Christ. A life as a Christian is the only life for me. Yo-ho, yo-ho. A Christian life for me. We walk, we talk, we give and share. Speak up, me brothers, yo-ho. We praise and honor and ask in prayer. Speak up, me brothers, yo-ho. Yo-ho, yo-ho, yo-ho. A Christian life for me. We're blessed, we're loved, happy and quaint. Speak up, me brothers, yo-ho. We're friends, we're faithful and living as saints. Yo-ho, me brothers, yo-ho. A Christian life for me. A Christian life for me. And I pray that you have the desire to lead the Christian life today. For there is a plan of salvation that's given to us in Scripture that tells us what we need to do, what we need to follow to become a Christian so that we can live the Christian life, to have a better life here on earth, and ultimately the great life that we are looking for eternally in heaven one day. It starts with our belief in Jesus Christ that He is the Son of God. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Our belief must be in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He is the one that died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We must also understand that if we believe in who He is and what He's done, that that will cause us to repent. Luke 13:3 says that, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Then we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, it says, Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. You want Jesus to acknowledge you on that final day? Then we must live a life here today where we acknowledge Him by our existence and the way that we live and we carry on our daily task. Then we must be immersed into Jesus Christ. Mark 16:16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. We need to live a life where we are immersed into Jesus Christ, where we are all in. Yes, we are buried with Him in baptism. We arise to walk in the newness of life, as we are told in Romans chapter 6. But it doesn't stop there. Too many people come out of that watery grave of baptism, arise to walk as the new man of life, and they go back to the old nature of sin. There's a change that takes place as we go into that grave. We go in dead, but we come out alive. Because we chose life over death. And be faithful. Church, be faithful. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. If you haven't been obedient to the plan of salvation that's been laid out here in Scriptures, we ask that you do so before it's eternally too late. If you are able and you would desire to support the ministry here at the Harlan Church of Christ, especially those that are members here, we would still encourage you to send your tithes and offerings to the Harlan Church of Christ at 17108 State Road 37, Harlan, Indiana, 46743, where it is our desire, it is our goal, it is our ambition to seek the lost, to send the light, and to serve the Lord. And may we do so living our life for Jesus Christ. Will you bow with me in a word of prayer as we close out this morning? Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the words of Moses years ago. As it was to be an encouragement to the people, may it be an encouragement to us as well. That we would take these words, that we would apply them to our life. That as we go about our daily tasks, and yes, these daily tasks have kind of been shifted and altered as what we know now, but we still live our life for you. Forgive us where we fall short. Thank you for looking at us through the lens of the blood of your Son, where you see the righteousness, where you see the good things. May we steer clear and put the wickedness and evil things behind us. And may we choose life. May we choose Jesus. May we live the life of a Christian for you each and every day. We just pray that you'd continue to be with us as we are scattered abroad. And we are looking forward to the time that we can all be back together once again. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.